If you're a people pleaser, you do live for what people say about you.
What do they really mean by that, actually? Like, why did they say it in that way? And why did they not talk to me and talk to that person?
Well, hey, and welcome to Braveheart Talks. My name is Emma Bryant, and I'm joined today by two of my good friends, Megan and Cynthia. And these two girls are part of the Braveheart team, and we're just going to have some really good conversation today around a topic that we've been talking about recently in church, right? And so we decided that it would be good for it to become a podcast because I think there is still so much to pull out and explore around this one topic. And it's not a popular topic.
Yeah.
It is the topic of offense. We're going to be talking today about what it is, what it looks like when we carry an offense, what it is to hold on to offense, and why offense is so detrimental to us. So girls, thanks for being on this today.
Thanks for having us. We're excited
to get into some conversation. And I know it's not a conversation that is going to be necessarily uplifting, but it is going to be a conversation that is going to be very freeing for many women. And so it got me thinking when I was thinking around this topic, and I know we've just done a message on it in the church, but while I was writing the message, I began to ask myself the question, do you think that we as women can get more easily offended than the guys? Like, is it more likely that a woman would latch onto an offense than a man? And why is that?
Yeah, I think so. I think we are emotionally driven as women, aren't we? So when we are led by our emotions, then an offense is that an emotion of that. And I think we were having this conversation earlier about how sometimes women can fall into the trap of people pleasing. And if you're a people pleaser, you do live for what people say about you. So that flies the opposite direction. So if someone comes in with something not nice or negative, or you take things wrongly, then that you carry that because you're almost like living to please people. So if you're living to please people, you'll take their rejection as well. And then you carry the offense. So I don't know, like, I do think we do as women though. Cynthia, what do you think?
Yeah. And I think because, like, you know, we overthink quite a lot. And I know I've had situations and scenarios where I'm like, what do they really mean by that, actually? Like, why did they say it in that way? And why did they not talk to me and talk to that person?
Overthinking, that's a great point, right?
So I think that's how we can become more offended. Because, you know, there's times where I've said to Yemi, why did they say it in that way? And Yemi's like, it was nothing. I was like, no, their tone, there's something, you know what I mean? And then you start unpicking it and you start thinking, actually, 3 weeks ago, they said something similar as well. And so is this connected? And actually, I remember a scenario, actually, one of my friends, she was meant to come and visit, but she wasn't invited as part of the group. And then she started thinking, she was like, do you know what? Actually, they didn't invite me to that dinner that they went to last week. So I think that's all connected because usually they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then you start to spiral and overthink, and then you kind of harbor that thing and you're literally just waiting for the next thing to be like, told you, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Kind of thing. So I think
spiraling is such a thing with women, right? Because we overthinking, most definitely being sensitive, we're oversensitive, we're very in touch with our emotions as women. And I don't think men are as in touch with their emotions. Yeah. So I think, like, a man could carry an offense for years and perhaps you wouldn't know. But I think it's going to keep tumbling out, out of a woman. I remember dating a guy years ago, like, obviously I've been married 20 years, so it was a long, long time ago, I remember going around to his house and his, as I knocked on the door, his mum answered the door and she said to me, oh, you don't want to, wherever you parked your car, you don't want to park up the road opposite so-and-so's house. And then she referred to this woman in a really nasty, negative way. Like, I was shocked. And she called this woman a name. And I asked my boyfriend at the time, like, what is that? What happened? Has your mum had a fallout with the neighbours? He said, oh, yes, 15 years ago.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
15 years ago, they had an altercation, they had words, and 15 years later,
yeah,
she's still referring to the woman in that way. So
yeah. I think that links on to like, offense doesn't always happen with a one-time occasion. Like if someone's done something to you one time, you don't always build an offense in that moment. Offense comes, like you said, over a period of time. So offense is sometimes built up. And I think we have a habit of women, we can't just drop things. You know, like we remember things. It says in the Bible, not, you know, forget, you know, the sin, like forget things, but we hold on to it. So in your relationships, you remember all the times they've done something's wrong and it builds up and the offense grows. So maybe guys have a better way to just like drop things so they don't carry it, so it doesn't build up. But
Yeah, no, it is true. And actually in that scripture, what it says that God chooses to remember our sin no more.
Yeah.
Because you can't actually really forget something that has happened to you because we're human, so it's going to stay. But you do get a choice.
Yeah.
Whether you hold on to it and you remember it or you choose to forget it.
Yeah, definitely. And let's talk about this then, because I do feel like sometimes there's, you know, and I've been through seasons and I've been offended, and but some people do seem to carry more offenses, or even like conflict and drama just seems to come to their doorstep more than others. So do you think that certain people, or the way we're wired or the way we think, can actually draw conflict and draw sort of unresolved resolution to their lives?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've kind of spoken about this. I think people are familiar and comfortable in certain situations if they've maybe grown up around in a certain way, and they're just, it's what they're used to. It's what we do. You know, we argue all the time. We like, you know, if that person annoys us, then the whole family is annoyed and we all, you know what I mean? So sometimes I think it can be familiarity.
Yes.
It's what we do. It's how it works. And that's just how I do life kind of thing. And they don't recognize that it's not healthy and it's actually not helping you kind of thing.
It's reactive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think as well, having our phones is just the worst because we don't process or think.
Yeah.
We just start texting and sending and replying. And it's not healthy. And I think, you know, there are people that do definitely attract more drama to them than other people. And I think in way that's part of a character, you know, it's part of a character. And sometimes that's a good thing. But obviously when you're talking in terms of offense, it's quite a destroying thing, quite a destructive thing. And I think you attract more problems when you don't easily let go of problems.
Yeah.
And that is proven because the Bible says that out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so when you don't let go of problems, it's like you talk to one person and you're like, wow, like, can you believe not only what they've been through, but this has happened and that's happened. And that's like a catalogue of catastrophe or a catalogue of pain. And but in between all of that, there have been some good times, but we choose not to speak about the good times. And therefore all you ever hear is the drama and the pain and what didn't happen and what should have happened. And so you know, one of my favorite scriptures, we referenced it on Sunday, and it's in Corinthians 13, and it's known as the love passage, and it's most read at weddings, but it's not about marriage. It's actually, it's a reference of God.
Yeah.
It is, it depicts his heart, and it's what we are supposed to emulate. And it's all about love. And it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking, love is not easily angered, and love keeps no record of wrong. And if we center our lives around that, trying to live out our life more like Jesus rather than trying to keep score of who did what to me, then maybe we wouldn't be so easily offended. I actually believe it is the love of God that gives us the strength to get over an offense that comes our way.
And I think just kind of picking up from what you said about, you know, what's in someone's heart comes out. I know that I've met some people who, they kind of sound like a broken record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They keep repeating that same thing. And you think, you haven't gotten over that. You haven't dealt with that kind of thing. And so just thinking about, because that makes me think that they've got unforgiveness. And so I know we're talking about offense, but what is the difference of offense and unforgiveness? Is it the same thing? Does one come first? What comes second? Are they joint? Is one question. Letter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a good, really good point. I've you know, I don't think I've ever really thought about that, but I think in order to be offended, something's got to have happened to you where you felt it. You felt embarrassed. You felt rejected. Yeah. You felt hurt.
Yeah.
And I think unforgiveness comes as a result of holding on to that offense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what you now start to do, I think the offense comes when you start to judge the person in your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
You start to, like you just said before, create scenarios. Mm. They did that because, and those scenarios are not always right. They're not always true.
Yeah.
They, we can fabricate a lot in our own mind. I think that's why it's great to have godly wisdom and counsel around you.
Yep.
I think it's great that you do life in company with good people.
Mm.
You know, as Christians, we need to seek out other good Christians who are maybe a little bit further on the journey that are going to speak some wisdom into our lives. Because I think even the strongest of believers, when you just become your own wise counsel, you can go off a little half cocked. Sometimes you need to be able to have somebody else go, yeah, I know you see it like that, but they are seeing it like that. Mm. It's like where the scripture talks about, we referenced it on Sunday, Proverbs 18, when it says that a person who's offended is harder to win over than a strong city. And it's talking about, in a nutshell, what it's talking about is when we put our walls up, right, we're really hard to win over.
Mm.
And when we put our walls up, we don't allow anyone in. And that means we don't even allow good, godly advice in.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we don't go through life with our walls up, but that we do let our walls down. Yeah. And
And I think, you
don't
know,
over-dramatize everything.
We're talking about unforgiveness there, aren't we? Like,
which is easy to do, which is really easy to do.
Three drama queens around the table. Don't over-dramatize anything.
Yeah, I think, you know, the topic of forgiveness, you know, as Christ followers, that's the main part of our faith is about we are forgiven.
Mm.
It's like God has forgiven us. So the more when you walk in your faith and you realize, like, gosh, like God has forgiven me so much. He's given me grace. That's undeserved favor.
Yes.
Mm. But yet we are called to share that forgiveness and to share grace. So if we can't give undeserved favor to someone, like they might not deserve your favor. They might have hurt you, but that is what grace is. If we can't extend it, then who is? You said on Sunday, like the church will look like the world. There's no difference. The
difference
is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I know I've walked a journey in learning how to forgive, and something that I felt that the reason why I could do it sometimes is I split the person from what they're doing.
Okay.
So say if someone has hurt me.
Very good.
I see the hurt as the hurt or the thing they did, but then I see them separate. So I'm like, this is the sin that was entangled. This is what they're blind to, but they're still a child of God. They're still loved. So you have
so
to sometimes separate the offense from the person.
Love the person, hate the sin.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then you see it in a different way and you say, you know what? They're probably hurting when they've done that to me. So hurt people, and I've got to extend grace. It's that is the key to sort of forgiveness. It's first knowing your forgiveness from your Father, and if you can accept that, then hey, we've got to share it. And it's harder. It's harder said than done. But like you said on Sunday, it's about exercising. You can exercise this. Like forgiveness is something we can exercise. Mm. We should be practicing in the little ways.
It's not feelings. It's not out of a feelings. Yeah. It's like you said before. It's a choice. God gave us a free will, and God gave us a choice.
Mm.
And so we get the choice to forgive or not to forgive. And you have the right to feel offended.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you've been hurt, and I need to point this out, particularly on this podcast, that we're not making light of any issues that anyone's been through. Because I think there are offenses that are like deep wounds.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of offenses that we perhaps get to heal about, which is more like, I call it playground stuff. It's a little bit like, come on, people.
Yeah.
You know, you got your feelings hurt. Let's get over it and move on. But there are deep wounds of offense. And I don't want to make light of anybody's situation in that. But one of the things that really highlighted to me was you cannot hold on to an offense and walk with God at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's where the choice comes in. And, you know, Jesus knew how this offense would work, how it would take your life on a downward spiral. So he spoke into it when he modeled the Lord's Prayer, and he said, listen, when you pray to God, pray like this. Mm. Help me, God, to forgive those who do wrong to me as you have forgiven the wrong I've done to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Jesus was saying, all I want you to live free.
Absolutely.
I want you to run at life with all of your being and seize the future, but you will never do it holding on to offense.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have time for on Braveheart Talks this week, but we are jumping straight back into this conversation next week. So I hope you can join us then.